So I had a lot of fun putting together this children's sermon with all the seeds. It brought back this memory of a couple months ago when my family and I ventured to an Ace Hardware. It was like early March, and we stood before the seed thing and like pulled all of these seeds off. It got really excited about dreaming of abundance of vegetables in our garden this summer. But confession time with Pastor CJ. I have been a chicken this year, and most of the garden has been left to Mike. I am so sorry. Gardening in Northern Virginia is hard. It's a lot longer than it was in Minnesota, but the heat is so intense here, and the mosquitoes, they're tenacious. It's not very much fun to be outside most of the day right now. But I looked at all of these seeds on Thursday. I was sorting things out, and I grieved it a little bit. I miss being in the garden, and so maybe this is, you know, hold me accountable. I'm going to try, when we get back from camping, to do a little weeding this week. Because it really is amazing, gardening. It's really amazing that from these tiny little seeds, from these tiny, tiny little seeds, come incredible things. Especially the zucchini. The zucchini reminds me of rural Minnesota, because there's this running joke in rural Minnesota that late summer, July and August, is the only time that folks in the country lock their cars. Because if you don't, you will find your backseat full of zucchini. It's the most prolific vegetable. And this one little seed makes so many zucchinis that you can't possibly eat them. I mean, people put them in brownies, bread, eggs, and you still have extra. And if you forget to check the garden for a few days, you will find several giant zucchini hiding under the leaves. It's ridiculous. From these tiny little seeds come food. And for this, we give thanks. Our readings for today are so rich with these agrarian images. And for many of us, this is hard to access because we're so far removed from our food sources. We buy things from packages, and us too. I mean, I gotta love a Trader Joe's pre-prepared meal. But for these ancient Near East people, these images were everyday reality. Seeds plus soil and sun and water, this magic combination meant that there was life. Not just for you and me, but for the entire community. And without it, there was disease, famine, and death. I think in our modern age, we've kind of lost sight of this, the sacredness of this give and take, this interdependence with the land. And so these scripture readings this morning are an invitation to be regrounded in the present, the joy and ridiculousness that our life is dependent on these tiny little things. And it is God, the farmer, that cultivates and nurtures it all. Just like the psalmist sings. This parable is present in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's a pivot point for Jesus. Up until this point, he's mostly like preached and healed, you know, the Sermon on the Mount stuff. And now it is time to really teach. And the crowds are there, and then there's so many that he gets in a boat and has to go out a little bit. And so all these people are literally hungry, right? Hungry for the word. And so he uses these simple images that would have been really familiar. And he flips them. He does strange things with them. And it's hard for us to hear them new because so many of us have heard them over and over and over again. You know, even this week, Jody and I ventured up to the loft, and you all have a cardboard cutout of a creepy sower from a VBS. I did not bring it out because it was that creepy, but we were holding on to it for some reason. But we come to these images again and again and again. And for the next couple of weeks, we're going to hear these little stories using ordinary things like seeds and yeast and mustard seeds to teach about what God's love and kingdom is like. But this one is the first one. And as I hear this story, I get really stressed out because I try and figure out, well, what kind of soil am I? And how can I be this good soil that Jesus is talking about? Because I definitely don't want to be any of the other examples. I don't want to be the one that loses God's word or gets choked out when trouble and persecution comes or gets distracted by shiny things. I want to be good soil. I think many of us do. That the first song we sang is such a good one, right? Lord, help us be good soil. But man, it is hard to be a human. So hard. Sometimes I don't understand what this world is all about. I get angry at news headlines and frustrated with my spouse. I'm weary and tired. I'm jealous of my pets who get to sleep all day. And my neighbor who seems to have her whole life together. I pick the path of least resistance. Screen time and extra snacks for the kids because I just don't want to fight one more time. I opt for takeout instead of the plentiful groceries in our fridge. And even last night, I was doom scrolling, checking in with the mainstream anxiety and gossip. Sometimes, okay, another confession time with Pastor CJ. I think most of the time, I am not good soil. Is it even possible to be good soil? Is this cute little story about seeds really the ultimate judgment? You know, the funny thing is, after I spiral into this rabbit hole about soil types, I realize that the title of this parable is not Parable of the Good Soil. It's not Parable of Yielding Abundant Harvests. The parable is called Parable of the Sower. So perhaps I have to take the narcissism out of it, because maybe it's not about me at all. And when I stop focusing on all the different types of soil that Jesus talks about, and I think about this sower, it's pretty laughable. Because this sower is not meticulous or careful or a planner. She does not stoop down on our hands and knees and make the appropriate size hole and count the right number of seeds to drop in each one by the ground. She flings seeds all over the place, scattering these seeds everywhere. Sidewalks, weeds, soil, to the hungry birds. She throws all caution to the wind and shares these seeds with abandon. It's a miracle that any of them sprout at all. One commentary reminded me that that first group of seeds that the birds ate, well, the joke is on them, because many plants are propagated through bird poop. So the seed wins. Take that, Satan. The devil may try to eat and destroy you, but plants find a way. God's love will find a way. Something so incredibly small and vulnerable, can you barely even see it, finds a way. It could take a while, but with some darkness and soil and water and sun, soon you have so many zucchinis that you have to hide them in people's cars. We are all different kinds of soil at different points in our lives. Maybe even multiple kinds of soil, depending on the time of day. Pre-coffee, post-coffee. But no matter what kind of shape our soil, our heart is in, no matter what kind of mental, physical, and emotional state we find ourselves in today, God promises to be the generous sower who lavishly loves us and finds a million ways to tell us each and every day, confident that despite all the rocks and birds and scorching sun, eventually these seeds will sink in. They'll take root and produce a beautiful harvest we cannot fathom. as the prophet Isaiah shares this morning. For as rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God's word is going to do what God's word needs to do. God's love is working on you, taking root and growing. It's there for you no matter what, growing an incredible harvest within you, whether you can believe it or see it. This parable is a pep talk to those who are worn out, stretched thin, overwhelmed, and distracted. In the kingdom of God, God's word is going to find a way. Don't worry about the rest. God's love is going to yield a harvest of love and peace and justice beyond our wildest dreams. I think it's really great that we get this story in the midst of the summer, where there's new life and growth all around us, for this is the time when gardens really go wild, right? We have little trees growing in our rain gutters and ivy crawling up the house, fields of dandelions and milkweeds and flowers, so many flowers, a rainbow of flowers right now. Garden beds and farm fields, and this life and growth happens. And some of it's carefully cultivated and pruned and fertilized, and some of it happens because a bird pooped or a seed traveled on the bottom of your shoe. Renegade guerrilla gardening is happening all around us. Despite record heat waves and thunderstorms and all those lovely mosquitoes, life is still growing. Still growing. And it makes me wonder, how can this story help us? How can we hold on to this attitude of the lavish sower throwing seeds everywhere with reckless abandon? How can we learn to love in the same way? Share what we have. Admit when we're vulnerable, when our soil needs a little nurturing. How can we cultivate and care for each other? How can we take this love given so widely to us and let it sow in us a garden so abundant that we have to give it away because the zucchinis are too many to carry on our own? Now, as this passage from Isaiah ends, as we allow God's word in us to grow and blossom and produce more seeds for the farmers and food for the hungry, we get to go out in joy. Not alone, but all creation gets to join us in this celebration procession. Isaiah writes that the mountains and hills will lead the parade, bursting with song. All the trees of the forest will join the procession, exuberant with applause. No more thistles, but giant sequoias. No more thorn bushes, but stately pines. Monuments to me, to God, a living and lasting evidence of God. Dear ones, today God looks at each of us and says, "You are my beloved child, growing a magnificent garden. A garden that will yield a harvest beyond our wildest imaginations." And for all those incredible zucchinis, all we can say is amen. Thanks be to God.